This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We're always glad to say Rob Setters, our fabulous producer. We give him full credit for anything that goes good around here. Anything that goes wrong typically is me pushing the wrong button. We welcome back to the newsline one of the popular individuals we've spoken to about a dozen times lately, Dr. Rutul Dalal, back on the line, Medical Director of Infectious Diseases at UPMC Susquehanna. Good morning, Dr. Dalal. Thanks for calling back in today.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me again.
I really do appreciate that. You're turning out to be a real rock star in our coverage, so you're the most asked for person on our podcast page. So just so you know, the things you say, people really enjoy hearing them and maybe rehearing them and making sure that they don't miss any of it. So thank you so much for checking in. I want to start out talking about vaccine hesitancy. It seems like we're hearing more about that. You know, we used to kind of talk in general terms, maybe a third of the country wouldn't want the vaccine. Tell us the impact of individuals and sort of what maybe percentage that could really stand in the way of developing some great immunity in the U.S.
Yeah, and that is really, really unfortunate. There are still some people who are really concerned about the safety of this particular vaccine, and vaccines, I should say. Now we have three of them. And so right now, like, you know, the biggest hindrance is, like, people are concerned that, you know, this vaccine is going to probably introduce something into their DNA, might cause malignancy, or worse, might even cause COVID itself. There have been also some theories which say that, you know, well, probably the vaccine is going to be introducing some other material which can monitor their movement. And as has absolutely no chance that this can cause real COVID infection or can cause real cancer, or which can alter even your DNA. So that's almost impossible to have. And, like, we do have around, like, you know, it's just a number. Like, it's around 25 to 30% of individuals across the state were a little bit hesitant in getting the vaccine. Right now, we don't have the exact number of how many of them really changed their minds and got back into the vaccine line. But again, like, you know, based on the science and based on what we have known so far, there are no deleterious long-term effects of the vaccine. There, of course, are going to be some short-term effects, like, you know, like some sore arm or, like, you know, feeling tired and achy all over. But typically within 2 or 3 days of the vaccine, these side effects dissipate. And this is the only tool which is available in addition to masking and social distancing and hand washing, which can really help have us probably a near normal summer this year.
Oh, in terms of what masking and distancing will be somewhat normal?
No, I'm just saying that if you want to, like, you know, try to get to that particular level of opening up our economies to have our normal summer this year, we would definitely need to have the vaccines as well, at least 65 to even 75% of our local as well as our state population should be immune to the virus through the vaccine distribution. So that is absolutely important for us to really have to probably have some kind of normalcy this summer.
All right, so we're looking forward to that. Hopefully that will come to pass. Tell me about the race against the vaccine variants, where the vaccines are trying to stay ahead of the different strains of the disease.
Yes, that's a very good question. So now we, of course, have the South African, the UK strain, and various other strains even coming up, like the Brazilian strain and even from Japan. Now, when these variants come in, like, you know, it's just like, you know, the virus is trying to stay alive, and, like, you know, when it's trying to make copies of itself, that's when mistakes happen, and that's how you get the development of variants. So as of now, like, you know, we have got some very good data, especially among the vaccines which you're using. Pfizer and Moderna came out first, so they definitely work against the variants. Probably the efficacy might go down by around 10 to 15%, so from 95-94% it can go down to almost 80 or in mid 80% range. Now, these particular vaccines are actually very effective against the various types of the spike protein, which keeps changing. That's how you start seeing the variants coming in. But at the same time, these vaccines are very much effective, and they're already working on a possible booster if need be, if the variants keep coming on. So it's a fight. We still have a lot of good efficacy against these variants, but of course not the best efficacy. So if you want to stamp out the variants, we have to stamp out the virus percolating into our communities. And again, like, you know, we need to keep vaccinating individuals so that, you know, we do not see more infections. But the longer the virus stays out there, the longer the chances of the variants keep cropping up.
All right, so using the vaccines to try to get those to get ahead of the variants, it really is a race. Tell us about, you said there are three vaccines. Of course, we know about Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. AstraZeneca is out there kind of in the background now, certainly being talked about. Tell us about that vaccine and sort of give us an update on all four of the vaccines.
Well, as you know, the Moderna and the Pfizer ones are genetic mRNA vaccines, which are, it's a genetic code vaccine, which just gets into your system and then, you know, it tells your body to, like, you know, start producing antibodies against the spike protein. And then when the real virus comes in, the body is ready. The Johnson and Johnson vaccine is also a vaccine which has been worked upon for almost like now about 3 weeks in the community, 3 to 4 weeks. And basically, it is administered as a single dose as against the Pfizer Moderna, which is a two-dose vaccine. It's a 0.5 ml vaccine approved for individuals 18 and older. And again, it's the same similar vaccine which goes into your deltoid muscle. And basically, it is a one-shot vaccine, so you don't need a second one. And typically, it is, again, a vaccine which is a viral vector vaccine, which means that you have a virus called the adenovirus, which is a common cold virus. You remove all the infective particles out of that particular virus, so just like a dummy shell, and then you put some the COVID proteins, which are, again, killed, and put into your into the virus shell, and then inject it into you, which starts producing immunity against it. Now, the AstraZeneca vaccine is actually an Oxford vaccine, which was studied in Great Britain, and of course there were study sites in the UK, in the US, as well as in other countries. Now, the guidance related to AstraZeneca's efficacy is still being completely worked upon, and is going to be coming from our public health officials. It's not yet been made very much popular right now in the States, but there'll be more information coming out pretty soon. And that, again, is going to be a vector-borne vaccine, which means that this is going to be a killed vaccine of a different kind, and then you'll put some genetic material of COVID in it, and then gets injected into your system.
Any long-term side effects from any of these that are being noted?
No, not to date. Like, you know, we have vaccinated around 278,000 doses have been given across the UPMC system, and we have found no long-term side effects except for the sore arm and tiredness and, like, you know, some fatigue with some fevers, which can go up pretty high, but typically within maximum of 48 to 72 hours, everything comes down. So no really major side effects.
And fevers fairly responsive to over-the-counter medications. We've heard that much as well.
Absolutely.
Recently, the CDC changed the masking guidelines for individuals who've all been vaccinated, and as well as individuals who've been vaccinated who interact with individuals who haven't been. Your reaction to those, you concur that you can kind of let your guard down a little bit under those circumstances?
Yeah, and a couple of things to keep in mind with regards to that. These guidelines will only be effective in the confines of your home. It's not in a healthcare facility or in a place where there is a congregation of people. People should have been vaccinated with both doses for Pfizer and Moderna, or one dose with the Johnson & Johnson. 2 weeks should have elapsed since the receipt of any of these vaccines, and the full schedule should be completed. all individuals should have finished that, and only then you can probably let your masks down within the confines of your home if everybody else is vaccinated. Now, in the community also, they are suggesting that, you know, well, because of the vaccine enrollment and the numbers that they're going down in the community, you can bring down the distance between individuals from 6 feet to 3 feet if required, but typically with a mask on if you can. There is still some data which is pending out that, you know, if you are going to an unvaccinated individual's house or are you in the proximity of them, there's still a small possibility that you could be a carrier of the virus, which can spread later on to the unvaccinated individual. So we should still continue masking and social distancing, especially if you're aware of people who are vulnerable to the virus and have not been vaccinated yet. All but right. You can a little bit, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break here. We'll pause here. We're right in the middle of our sort of public policy aspect of this. We know you follow this very closely. So even though you're an infectious disease specialist, this is still right up your alley. So you're quite informed on that. So when we come back at 7:40, we'll talk about the sporting individuals around here. The high school teams have been able to compete, and the NBA has some sort of a bubble gone that seems to be working. We'll also talk about schooling, distances being reduced in schools. So most schools, we got thousands and thousands of days of schooling in safely around here. So we found out the good way we could go back to school. So we'll discuss that when we come back. Dr. Dalal, you'll stand by till 7:40?
Yes, I will.
All right, perfect. I'll put you on hold. You're welcome to stay there, or we can, or you can call back at 7:40. So that is Dr. Rutul Dalal. He's been very helpful throughout the pandemic. Medical Director of Infectious Diseases at UPMC Susquehanna. And we thank Tyler Wagner up at UPMC Susquehanna. He is their outreach expert and probably the manager or vice president of outreach and coordination and communication up there. So we appreciate his help making this happen. When we come back, we will talk about the impact on local teams and the 3-foot distancing, and what does the NBA seem to be doing right? We'll talk about that when we come back at 7:40.
From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We are right in the middle of our interview with Dr. Rutul Dalal. He is Medical Director of Infectious Diseases at UPMC Susquehanna. So we really appreciate you checking in. Good morning, Dr. Dalal. Thanks again for calling in today.
Sure. Thanks again for having me. Good morning, everyone.
When we were talking last, we discussed public policy and the idea that the distancing and masking guidelines are changing, and for vaccinated people, they've changed still further. Let's talk about sports teams. We have got hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours of successful sports games behind us now with masking of wrestlers and basketball players and coaches, and that worked successfully. What's your review of what has been a great, successful, and safe sports season so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, so the biggest thing which I have seen success was with the NBA as well, along with other sporting authorities as well, which is right now we're seeing also the baseball teams coming in, and we're also seeing great success in local sporting events as well. And all of that is, again, is testament to the fact that, you know, social distancing and masking along with hand hygiene definitely works. I was pretty much impressed with the style which NBA really used in 2020 was creating a bio bubble, and that was like, you know, everybody who was going to participate was taken to a separate place, and I think it was in Florida around the Disney Resort, and everybody just played in that particular bubble, and people who were showing some symptoms or who were tested positive and who did not show any symptoms were all isolated and cohorted in a separate area, and then there was frequent testing done almost every day in major sporting events. So I would say, like, you know, with regards to the social distancing and the masking, that definitely worked to help mitigate the crisis, and if it done properly, one can see the results that there were hardly any positives or any real COVID infections, which really broke through the ranks of these teams. So I'm pretty much sure that, you know, all the public society's social etiquettes, which have been inculcated during this COVID infection, will definitely help reopen our sporting events even further in this 2021 year.
Yes, I was thinking about maybe faking that I was part of the NBA teams, not a player, but you know, so I could go to Florida and isolate, and that would be what I would call more of a vacation than a tough isolation. And what about schooling? We're seeing the distancing for our schools change. We're so darn good at keeping kids safe at schools these days. You'd almost wouldn't want to change anything.
Absolutely, and like you know. Studies have already shown that, you know, in fact, there is a possibility of you catching the virus outside the school environment, especially among adults, rather than, like, you know, kids giving it to each other, again, because of the strict adherence of the social mitigation efforts which have been put into the classrooms as well. Look, schooling is absolutely necessary for the overall development of a kid's brain, and I'm so happy that we have come down this far to see that, you know, there weren't any major outbreaks within the school system, especially in our area. And as you said correctly, the CDC has brought down the distancing from 6 feet to 3 feet, especially for elementary as well as middle and high schoolers, if the community transmission is low. Low means less than 10 per 100,000. Now, if the community transmission is higher, then the middle and high schoolers do have to inculcate cohorting. And if cohorting is not possible, then they're saying have a 6 feet distance along with masking, especially in moderate to high level transmission communities, which as of now, as we speak, are not many, in fact, I would say none in our listening area. So I think, like, you know, we need to, like, you know, they have also relaxed on the physical barriers between students and the teachers and students together. They're just talking about, emphasizing about the importance of ventilation, like trying to crack open a small window if there's no safety hazard while on school buses, or having exhaust fans in the restrooms and on the kitchen area. And of course, like, you know, when they're eating in a common place, then they're saying that either probably you can do still the 6 feet because the masks are down and you're eating and drinking. But while in the classroom and while in the proximity of other students, I think if you're masking properly with either a cloth mask or a regular mask, which has around two or three layers of fabric in it, then they can relax from 6 feet to 3 feet. And as you said correctly, Mark, that, you know, we did not have any major outbreaks, which means that, you know, whatever social distancing masking guidelines were there in the school even before the CDC guideline definitely worked. So, and with the advent of vaccines, of course, they're not yet approved for kids, but there's already work in progress for students above the age of 12 or kids above the age of 12. And the vaccine makers, especially Moderna, last week just announced that they're starting to work on them. As you know, Pfizer vaccine is approved for anybody 16 and above as well, as compared to Moderna, which is 18 and above. So slowly, we will start seeing these vaccines being percolating into our school kids age group as well. Slowly but surely, we'll get there.
Why is it important that at some point we get our kids vaccinated against COVID-19?
Well, you know, there have been so many cases all across the country. There have been so many reported deaths as well with regards to the COVID affecting kids. Initially, they thought, like, you know, well, it couldn't affect the kids, but we have started seeing many, many cases. In fact, there was the American Academy of Pediatrics estimated that there were so many kids who died, which probably was due to COVID. And at that time, they did not know whether it was from COVID or from something else. Secondly, the kids as well, like, you know, it's difficult to mask them. And as well as sometimes, you know, when you're in a closed environment, well, kids especially forget about the social etiquette part of it. Like, you know, you do probably sneeze in a tissue and then throw it away and then wash your hands immediately after. That's not normally usually done in kids. So I think it's very much important that, you know, we can get our kids vaccinated, as with other childhood vaccines, to prevent spread among themselves or from them giving it to an adult and then the adult spreading it to other adults. So that's the reason it's very important to get them vaccinated if we continue this good promising research on them.
How do you envision us behaving in the spring and this summer? Describe our masking, our distancing, our opportunities to visit places. Sort of give us a glimpse of the future as best you can.
That's an important question because, like, you know, people are, like, you know, tired, which is like we have heard about COVID fatigue situation in the other way. Like, this is mental fatigue, basically. So I think the end is it's almost there. We just have to be more diligent for an extra 3 to 4 months as we keep our fight against the variants. We need to rush and try to get the vaccine. When your turn comes, please take it as soon as possible to have a near normal summer. And should not forget that, you know, social mitigation efforts. I find myself repeating here, like, you know, the masking, social distancing, hand hygiene definitely helps. The testament to that fact is at UPMC Williamsport, we have had only potentially one case of the flu so far. That is extraordinary. So again, these measures work, and if we need to still be cognizant of the fact that, you know, we should not really congregate a lot in close surroundings. Try to be as open as possible in the outdoors if you can, and try to still, like, you know, keep masking, especially where you can't keep that distance. Again, get the vaccines ready, and I think if we can get to at least 75% to 80% of herd immunity by June or by early July, then we probably would be able to attend, like, you know, sporting events, probably concerts, of course, at limited capacity to maintain that distance among people. So I think it's not going to be completely normal. I think we need to keep the battle will continue throughout even 2021. But there'll be definitely a lot of relaxation of norms this summer, especially because of the percolating of the vaccines. As of now, I had read that 65% of individuals above the age of 65 have been vaccinated, and around 35% of individuals under the age of 65 have been vaccinated. So we need to bring that number up. We're almost towards the end of March. If we can continue this trend until even end of June, so another 3 months, I think July, August, September will be very good months to enjoy.
Well, after we get as many people vaccinated who wish to be vaccinated, why should we take any precautions at all? I mean, those of us who wish to get vaccinated will do so and be protected. Those who don't wish to can risk the ailment if they so choose, but of course it will be much less prevalent by then, so they'll be at lower risk. Why not just drop our guard as soon as many people get vaccinated who wish to?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, which I've been asked multiple times, the people as well, because the thing is the variants. The variants are these different copies of the virus. It's like, you know, they just try to change their molecular mimic, the molecular genetic part of the virus, and which makes it more potent to attack. Now, these vaccines have been studied against infections, which is the regular infection. They show some efficacy against variants, but again, remember, like, you know, you're getting protected almost 94% to 95% with Pfizer and Moderna, up to 67% to 75% with Johnson & Johnson. So nothing is 100% protection. We have seen cases occasionally that have become positive because of COVID, in spite of taking their vaccines. Of course, they don't get as sick. They don't die from it because of the vaccine. But again, there's always a risk of transmission to others, and we do not know. There could be more variants coming in. Right now, as I said, like, you know, we have from 4 countries, Japan, Brazil, UK, and South Africa. There could be many more coming. And with the variants, we'll have to do further work up against giving potential booster shots, because the efficacy of the vaccine will go down by almost 10% to 15% with these variants. So one never knows, like, you know, if that person has got the variant, or they got exposed to somebody who did not take the vaccine and who actually had gotten a variant or a more contagious strain of the virus. That would probably bring the virus back again to communities. We saw in Italy, which eased down their lockdowns, and just 10 days ago, they had to go back into lockdown because the numbers again started to swell. So vaccine is a tool to prevent these things from happening, but it's not a perfect science yet.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there. But thank you so much for the updates. I guarantee you I will ask for more of your time in the future. I see an opportunity in the months ahead where you and I can run up there and record an interview in your office, safely distanced and masked. And you won't have to call us at 7 in the morning. We'll get that done ahead of time. We'll meet Tyler in person, too. Thank you so much, Dr. Dalal.
Thanks again for having me, and thanks again for all the kind words.
Oh, you bet. Dr. Rutal Dalal, of course, has been our go-to person throughout the pandemic up at UPMC Susquehanna, Medical Director of Infectious Diseases there. Really talking about the NBA and local schools and the new vaccine, AstraZeneca, why you may not see it anytime here soon. So we appreciate his time this morning.